The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features ensure that you can take on any adventure. What kind of features? Well, how about the available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud? Or the standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together? How about available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone? We're always trying to think about those great spring and summer getaways, but with a car like the Hyundai Santa Fe, anywhere can be your next adventure. To learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe, go to HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
To the house! Touchdown!
This is unbelievable.
Welcome to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. It's your call for the best college football coverage. From National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between, CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Barton Simmons. That's Tom Fornelli. And we are joining you here on a Friday morning amidst strange times within the sports landscape, not just the college sports landscape, but really all of sports in the United States as the COVID-19 outbreak continues to have its impact on sports and on our sort of daily lives and our rhythms and our routines. It's been a busy week all across the board. The NCAA men's and women's basketball tournament has been canceled. The NBA has been suspended. We believe it will be for 30 days, but we don't know that for sure. And the professional leagues are all pushing things back a little bit. We're going to get into the college football aspect of this here in the show and let you know what to expect from the Cover 3 Podcast. Because guess what? We're not slowing down. We can be all in our home offices and still deliver you this glorious content. So mailbag episodes, any kind of hypotheticals that you've been offering in the mailbag about what Barton, Tom, and Chip would be like if we all got sent off into a cabin into the woods, who gets lost first? Remember, it is Barton looking for a cell phone signal to answer the phone.
That's right.
we'll answer all those. So, gentlemen, how are we doing here on this Friday?
I feel lost. Mostly.
I did wake up and check for the scores of the late night conference tournament games.
I had the moment last night. I was watching TV with Lynn, and she got like a phone call that she had to take. So normally when that kind of thing happens, I grab the remote, I press that one button on it that shows you like the live scores of whatever games are going on, and then I figure out, okay, which one of these do I want to watch? And then I pick up the remote, I'm like, oh, crap. There's nothing to watch.
It was supposed to be a really, really busy end-to-end day. I mean, I was in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Just not the way we were hoping.
Just not the way that I wanted. It was incredible, you know? Florida State only warmed up, and then they got awarded the conference championship. All they had to do was warm up. It was incredible. Barton, how are you?
Well, can you guys hear the echo? Is there an echo, or is it just me?
I cannot. Just you.
So I'm basically working in a closet right now. Let me give you a little. Here's my current setup. So our kitchen is being renovated. So the best place for me to work is at the house where there's banging and walls being torn down and electricity being shut on and off. And when that causes issues, then I'm forced to go back to my current living situation, which is my in-law's house. I'm in my mother-in-law's closet office right now. I can't watch sports anyways. All I'm watching all day long is Frozen 2 on repeat. And my poor father-in-law, who has this like perfect, comfortable, lazy boy right next to the TV where he likes it, where he can watch his Fox News and his Westerns all day long, now has to watch Tots and Paw Patrol nonstop. My kids are out of school now. This is going to be a challenge moving forward. I can just say that.
That's like I saw that there'd been, you know, like so many people are being told to work from home. And like there are a lot of people I have seen who have been like, oh, that's awesome. Why is anybody upset that they have to work from home? And it's like, I can guarantee you none of those people have children, because try working from home when your children are going to be home with you all day, too.
This is this is a challenge.
I think
but I got my private little closet here, so I'm in good shape right now.
All good shape. Okay. So if you're listening to this podcast, then I imagine that you are pretty well aware of the different impacts that the COVID-19 outbreak has had across the entire sports landscape. So let's begin from the college football side of things, because the ACC has suspended all athletic activities indefinitely. That is no practice. That is no meetings, no informal or formal, no recruiting. The Big Ten has put limitations on its recruiting. They've canceled a couple of the spring games. A lot of spring games from across the college football calendar are now being impacted. And so, I mean, between spring practice and the recruiting, I guess Barton first, like which of these two impacts do you feel like is going to be something that we start to see? Because Dennis Dodd on CBS Sports HQ yesterday suggested that because we don't know how long this is going to be a disruption of not just life, but the sports calendar, that we really might be looking at adjustments even on into the fall of 2020. Barton, what is your sense right now of, what spring practice, whether spring practice or recruiting, like which part of this starts to stick out to you more?
Well, I think the big thing with recruiting, because recruiting is there's a lot of layers of impact here. One is obviously there's no junior days, there's no official visits. There's just sort of the on-campus recruiting is guys can't come in and visit for spring practice, those sort of things. That all is substantive and meaningful and is a big deal, but it's also you can just sort of, assuming this stuff gets cleared up, you can just sort of push that off until the summer, further prioritize getting kids on campus for camps and evaluations that way, get your official visits in the fall, just sort of take a more traditional approach to recruiting, just sort of push the timeline back a little bit more to where it used to be. I think the bigger deal and the more interesting deal on the recruiting side is the evaluation period starts in mid-April. And at this rate, I don't have a ton of confidence that there's going to be a green light for coaches to get out on the road and evaluate and sort of utilize that window. And so in that sense, then, like, that's the discovery period. I mean, that's when schools get their conviction on prospects. That's when they start to really put the foot on the gas with certain prospects, take it off with others, find more. That's when the board is filled out. And that's, I think, is going to be a real challenge. And I'm interested in seeing who can sort of not allow that to affect them too significantly. So I don't know. I think that's a big deal. I also think it's a big deal. Just like spring practice is supposed to be a time when your iron art out depth charts, the writing is written on the wall, and some of the guys that read it will transfer. The transfer market spikes again. That all doesn't even mention just the sort of learning and progression and development that takes place in the spring. And so I think that's going to be a big deal. And hey, a few of these schools have already had several weeks of practice. Arizona State seems to always start like in early February. So that's an advantage to them. But there's a lot to bite off in terms of how this is going to impact college football.
Yeah, no, this is, I mean, It's weird when we think about these questions, because it's what do we really know at this point when it's trying to deal with this stuff? Because like Chip, you mentioned what Dennis Dodd had talked about on HQ, and there is a reality to it. And although it seems weird to think that, you know, it's currently March, and like sports leagues have suspended things for a few weeks, and, you know, like baseball's probably not going to be played before May, that you hope that by the time the fall rolls around, everything is normalized enough to where we can get back to, you know, classes are starting again and sports can start again and everything can just get back to normal. But we don't know, man. There is a very real chance that the football season might even get pushed back a little bit, because if you think about how crazy maybe that sounds to you now, if I had told you a month ago that the NCAA tournament was going to be canceled, what would your reaction have been to that? So it's one of those weird things. And it's going to be interesting to see how coaches and coaching staffs are able to adapt to this situation where, you know, there's no game plan. And when you think about what it is to be a coach, everything essentially comes down to a game plan, whether it's how you're actually preparing to, you know, face an opponent, or it's how you're preparing to handle, you know, your recruiting chart and all that kind of stuff and what you're going to do. Nobody has a game plan for any of this. Nobody has had like a contingency plan to, or maybe somebody does, but odds are nobody had the contingency plan for, okay, what do we do if the whole world is pretty much shut down for a few weeks? How are we going to put together our 2021 class? Or, you know, this is going to be a thing that has an impact on the sport for a few years, even if everything is back to normal, but as far as playing wise, when the season starts, because it's going to be really interesting to see if there are coaching staffs that are able to come up with something that can help them take advantage of this. And if there's possible coaching staffs who aren't able to adapt, who could fall slightly behind, it's just a weird unknown situation.
Okay.
So I was thinking the teams from just a recruiting standpoint, like who would have the hardest time dealing with this? Who would not benefit from this, but be most equipped to handle it? And I guess the way I thought about it is, from a recruiting standpoint alone, the teams that would, I think this would hurt the most, are the teams that are really strong evaluators. And because I think evaluating is ultimately about information gathering. And so if you aren't able to get to know these kids with more in-person interactions, with on-campus visits, with getting out on the road in the evaluation period and talking to coaches, assistant coaches, teammates, whatever, all the things that go into these evaluations, if kids aren't out there running track, you know, putting that kind of data out there in the space for you to consume as a coaching staff. Like, these are all things that I think would hurt a program that tries to sort of differentiate by out evaluating. So on the flip side, I guess, like, if the programs that this could benefit would be
Texas,
right? The brands.
Yeah.
That just are going, like, they're going to be attractive to top prospects as is. And certainly I think the schools that are in hotbeds for talents, like if you're a Kansas State or a Wisconsin or someone like that, I mean, I would imagine this isn't great for you, because there's only so many players from Wisconsin and Kansas that you can draw on. Whereas Georgia, if everyone's just sort of quarantined, Georgia can just, you know, make their phone calls from the, you know, the 60-mile radius of campus or whatever, and just you could be okay. So I don't know if there's other theories on sort of who this would most hurt or most who would be most equipped to handle it, but that's kind of my initial, at least, recruiting theory.
So Illinois has finally found a way to lock down the state.
That's right.
Coming up on the other side, what coaches are going to do with all this free time, what recruiting might look like, and how the spring practice calendar might be adjusted, all that and more of the impacts from the COVID-19 outbreak next.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived, thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
The recruiting aspect, the evaluating aspect, the evaluation aspect of recruiting is a very good point. I wonder also from the spring practice point of view, because like these activities in the ACC and the Big Ten are suspended indefinitely, just no team activities. But even at college campuses across the country right now, we've seen basically in-person classes written off for the rest of the semester. And if you've got schools that are taking that kind of stance in like, let's just get from now until early May and figure out the rest later, like is it going to be a situation where spring practice is basically takes the place of the summer off-season conditioning? Would the NCAA adjust its bylaws in terms of how many days you need to have between competitions? Like that's sort of the sliding scale that I'm looking at, because everything that I see from the schools, from the university presidents, and the university presidents are absolutely erring on the side of caution. And I think that one of the things that's been really stark is the statement from some conference and university leaders that have said, is this an overreaction? Maybe, but I would much rather this be an overreaction that we can come back to later and be like, wow, we might have overreacted, than the opposite, which is to introduce, like 85 to 110, student athletes in a close confined space over long periods of time and all the opportunities for the transmission of virus within that community. And I just, I wonder what the calendar looks like. What do you, Barton, do you think that they would adjust it such that spring practice basically gets held in the summer?
I mean, I don't know that the NCAA is that mobile and malleable to where it can do that. But my hunch is more along the lines of, in the summer there is, and I'm not even sure what the actual rules are, but there are restrictions in terms of what your interaction can be with your players. And it's actually loosened over the years, over the past few years, to where there's actually some sort of, like when I played, really, coaches couldn't have any interaction with you in the summer. It was all strength coach. And now they actually have windows where the coaches can engage with the players in a more coordinated setting. But there are limitations to it. And I think there's maybe even – I don't even know if you're allowed to have a ball around. Like, I think there may be something like that. I don't know. But I wonder if just some of those summer – coach player interactions that are currently legal are able to sort of be expanded. Like maybe right. You can wear shells, maybe you can wear helmets, maybe you can, maybe there's a bigger window for that to take place, because I would imagine there's some sort of opportunity for loosening the rules there. That said, there's currently a dead period in place in July, which is sort of the time when coaches can recharge, spend time with their families, get off the grind for a little bit before the season, and they're just gone to the world. I gotta imagine that there's not going to be a lot of enthusiasm for cutting into that period of time to allow for more coach-player interaction. So we'll see, but That would be my hunch, is just sort of expanding the rules a little bit, loosening the rules a little bit in terms of that summer interaction.
To be fair, considering that coaches might be forced to spend a lot of family time over the next 3 months, by the time July rolls around, they might be dying to get back into practice.
Okay, so here's what I was thinking about. So this time of year, right, like Chip said, I mean, coaches are uber scheduled, and there's, you know, they get their itinerary for the day, and there's staff meeting this and there, and there's, you know, you got, this is when spring practice starts, and here's when our junior day is, and this is like, there's all these scheduled events on a daily, weekly, monthly basis that these coaches have to that sort of run these coaches' lives. Not to mention the assistant coaches are basically gone for like 4 out of 6 weeks in the evaluation period, April to May. And so it's when all these guys are off the road, when all these events are no longer scheduled, when there's kind of nothing, like the kids aren't even on campus, they can't have guys in watching film with them, when there's nothing to do, I was just thinking about like which coach is going to be the absolute like biggest nightmare to work for in terms of all the little minute, ridiculous projects that he's going to hand out. Because I've already heard the horror stories of like the coach that, you know, when he just got nothing else to do, he just hands out the most ridiculous jobs for the personnel department or the analysts or whatever. Now you got a bunch of assistant coaches home too with nothing else to do. Like I feel for GAs and quality controls and player personnel directors and all the support staff that are just going to have to be just jump into the whims of all these bored coaches with nothing else to do. Can you imagine working for PJ Fleck right now?
No, yeah, I was just about to mention PJ Fleck. I was like, oh my gosh, somebody is going to end up having to like move desks around in an office, and then he's going to come back a week later and then get him to rearrange it.
Or just, you know, or like, you know, start game planning the 2021 slogans and mottos and you know, war rooming those out or thinking through like he would also do like just some sort of in-depth study on, you know, like body clock versus opponents who have spent, you know, had Monday off the week prior, or like just like the most absurd.
Oh, now he's getting into the process.
Right. Like I think it's going to be a hard road to hoe here for some guys that are thinking they're getting, you know, the easygoing spring with all the coaches on the road. Man, I think it's going to be a new era for a few guys.
Who do you think? All right. So you mentioned PJ Fleck. PJ Fleck, you're right. PJ Fleck's definitely going to go scientific with this. He looks at this as a great opportunity to discover new market inefficiencies that he's going to try to look to exploit. Who's going to have the most senseless, like truly, like not head scratching and like, what are you doing here? Who's going to be so bored that they're just going to like have assistant coaches painting a room or something like that?
Jeremy Pruitt.
Drew is probably going to get pretty meaty with it. I was wondering, too, like the other thing that I was having a hard time, I was kind of laughing at, was sort of who, like which head coaches, when they got the call from the university president or the athletic director saying you're going to have to cancel spring practice or your coaches are going to have to pull off the road, no junior days, like which coach was having the hardest time just computing that? Just the whole concept, like you're telling me we can't even practice football, we can't even have coaches meet with players. What the hell you want us to do?
Oh, Mike Leach. What?
Mike Leach?
Oh, Mike no, Leach Mike doesn't Leach. Care about recruiting.
Mike right. Leach is on Key West
He's
right
in
now.
Key I'm West not now.
Sure he realizes the season's going. What's happening?
There's no doubt he is out of there, man. He's beach bound.
All right. Well, who is it then?
I don't know. Just think of the coaches who you feel like are football, 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 and then those are probably the guys. Whereas the coaches that give you the sense of having more of a life outside of football will probably adjust better. But I also wonder, like, speaking of Leach, like, I wonder if we're going to see any kind of innovation from all this extra free time. Like, because there's going to be a lot of coaches now who've been always, you know, coaches are always trying to draw up plays or come up with schemes and stuff. And they got nothing else to do for a while. So I'm wondering if we might see, you know, maybe we get like a whole new offense out of this.
Probably.
who's the most likely to develop a new offense?
Matt Canada. No, just kidding. It's still jet sweeps.
I don't know. I mean, I just think that there's going to be somebody out there who's just been, you know, goofing around like with some concepts that now, you know, like they were just doing like in their spare time when they were bored, who now is going to be like, all right, I got maybe 2 months here where I could just work on this and see if, you know, at least in theory, if I can come up with something. So I don't know.
Oh, I've got a nomination. Joe Moorhead.
Maybe. Yeah. Although Mario will shoot that down quick. No, well, we're just going to hand it off.
Well, listen, we can talk about Don Mario later, but I think that Joe Moorhead, if he can break free of the shackles that Cristobal places on him in terms of how inventive or creative the offense can be, then I think we could see Oregon coming out with some, they've got too much speed and Moorhead's too creative for all this time not to lead to some sort of innovation. That's a fantastic call.
It's good. I'll tell you who this, and just in terms of, and sort of thinking on the fly here, because we talked about Mike Leach and, like, I mean, this really hurts obviously the new coaches.
Yeah.
Mike Leach has got to get an air raid going by the fall with a new quarterback. And I guess Costello wouldn't, I don't think he's going to be on campus in the spring. So he has had the summer anyways, but I mean, part of the most as important as anything in that area stuff is getting the receivers used to it, getting them comfortable with it. And you know, this is just another, onus burden that new head coaches have to carry along with the early signing period. And now you got this, you really got to cut everybody a break in 2020 in terms of expectations for new coaches, because there's a lot to overcome.
I saw a Florida State fan who was like really starting to look for silver linings of all this, because I mean, Florida State basketball did just have
basketball school.
Yeah. Florida State basketball did just have one of its best seasons. And if they had made it to the Final Four, it could have been the best season in program history. But he was like, you know what this means? Means when spring practice starts, Chuba Purdy might be on campus. We might be ready to roll, son.
Yeah.
Like, all those June enrollees might not miss a beat. They might be stepping. We might be looking at, like quarterback competitions and position battles. Definitely going to be thrown off. You mentioned the new coaches trying to, you know, install new systems. I mean, with all the changes that we had in the assistant coaching carousel, this greatly changes that. I mean, we do have the advancements in technology that we've seen all across college football that are going to allow for, you know, digital reps essentially, and to break down film, and to, you know, you can email a playbook and all the cut ups and clips that you want, but it's going to take a while before we actually get some of these college football, before across the entire landscape of college football, everybody is getting that kind of coach instruction that we normally get around this time of year. As of right now, 11:28 on the Eastern time on the East Coast, Missouri is like still getting after it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. They still plan to. I would bet that they don't practice today.
Are we giving any like hard work gold stars to anyone who's still going out there?
No.
Okay.
No. NASCAR is now postponing its stuff finally.
I did see a map tweeted out. I can't remember where it was circulating, but like every state that has had at least one coronavirus case and there was like, other than like North Dakota, South Dakota, and
Alabama,
Montana or something, it was Alabama and West Virginia.
Yeah, and Idaho.
Idaho, yeah. So, I mean,
it just writes itself, right? Saban's still like, well, I don't understand.
They're just in there just like grinding like all spring, and everyone else has got to be sitting out.
I will say, though, just because nobody's been found with it yet.
True.
Oh, yeah. Like the...
If nobody's getting tested, it's hard to find somebody.
Right. Like the CAA official from D.C. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he actually reffed a game a couple days ago. My bad.
So, whoops.
Have you guys found that in I know... I assume you guys have both been doing, I haven't done a ton of media stuff, but I've had a couple radio things here and there. And like, obviously all anyone wants to talk about is the coronavirus and they got a whole show to fill, and your typical like 20-minute spot or whatever, what you're typically talking about college football, is now 20 minutes of them just asking you about coronavirus.
Yeah.
And I want to be like, look, man, like I don't know, I read some stuff yesterday. Like, I'm not an expert here, but you know, like I'll do my best to convey all the things that my wife has been reading to me off Twitter in bed every night. But aside from that, like, I can't.
Do you preface it with that? Heads up, this is just what my wife's Twitter account says.
According to reports from my wife, who's been incessantly reading about this for the last month, here's the latest. But no, I can't, there's nothing else to say, man. Like, I all I can do is just sit here and, you know, regurgitate the things that I've read about coronavirus. I'm not an expert. We're all watching this thing together.
I do think that there's a little bit I've been on CBS Sports HQ a lot. I've been talking about it from the college basketball side of this. I've been talking about this from the master's side of this. And I have repeated the phrase, I'm not a doctor, about 17 times on the air before I had like as little like warnings and prefaces to whatever kind of opinions or analysis that I've tried to be able to offer. And I think that the only things that I can really point to is just sort of the chain of events, which is if... You know, there's not, because college sports in particular, and that's, you know, what we're talking about, especially here, there is no one governing body. Like, we talk about this in turn, and you mentioned it, you know, like the NCAA is slow moving, and it's slow moving because it's really not all that centralized. It is an association of member schools. Those member schools are represented by their university presidents. Their university presidents all have their own set of local and sort of school-wide board of governors, board of trustees, and because of that, you can kind of see the trickle-down effect. Like, basically, in terms of the way that, you know, sports has reacted to the COVID-19 outbreak, it all started with Barton Simmons and Yale and the Ivy League, right? Like,
it did.
Ivy League came out. Yeah, they were like, no, we're not doing this. We're shutting this all down. We will check back in with y'all later, but this ain't happening. And, you know, sure enough, as I mentioned, it is the ACC and the big, like, ACC had Duke University President Vincent Price kind of leading the charge. I mean, according to the News and Observer, ultimately this was a decision, like, as Florida State's getting pulled off the court and as they're shutting down the ACC tournament and canceling the remainder of it with just like 10 minutes before tip off, one of the big swinging factors was the Duke University president finally informing the ACC, I'm not putting our basketball team on a bus to Greensboro right now. Like, they were supposed to play at 3:00, and at about 12 o'clock, they said, no, I mean, we're suspending all athletics activities, and that includes this. And so there have been these individual decisions that have really have caused that kind of ripple across all of college athletics. And even though the impact of the virus in local communities, you know, is different all across the country, it has now created a new abnormal for us in college sports, at least in trying to determine, you know, like how the players are going to respond to this, how the teams are going to respond to this. The spring sports, which do not include college football, but, you know, how are they going to handle eligibility? And those are a lot of questions that all are going to be very tough to answer in the coming future. I almost feel from the college football perspective that given some of the stresses on the system that there are right now, it's almost like college football has not luxury, because that sounds the wrong word, but they've got the advantage of at least having the most time to figure this out before they're scheduled to return to competition.
Well, so I was a sophomore in college when 9/11 hit, and the week following, I can't remember the day it hit. It must have been a Monday or Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Okay. That weekend we were scheduled to play Towson, and the game got canceled, and I was certainly understood why the game was canceled. And I, you know, it was, I didn't, you know, that was really disappointing though. While I was understanding of it, I was devastated to lose an opportunity, even just one opportunity to play in one game. And I know there's like football's a little different because there's only, you know, there's a limited number of games. Those games are so huge. But I like that was devastating to lose that game. And for this situation to hit in the way it has, I mean, that it's got to be even more, because I still understood why, and I still understood that it needed to not be played, and the nation needed to focus on other things. Can you imagine being like a baseball player and being told the College World Series is done? Like, yeah, this season is done.
It sucks.
All the off season you've worked, like, it's done. And not only that, but like, it's this, you know, you're healthy, everyone around you is healthy. Like, you see, again, you could probably understand why it needs to happen, but it's so hard to grasp and actually wrap your arms around, like why? I think it's been, that's probably the most brutal part of this, from the college sports standpoint, is just the idea that seniors and people that could be potentially playing their last competitive sport in their life are just missing that opportunity because of these shutdowns. So it's a pretty devastating thing.
Yeah, and it's not just seniors too, because I mean, like, going to college basketball at the NCAA tournament, you know, Io DeSumo is a guard for Illinois who, as a freshman last year, could have gone to the NBA. And one of the reasons he came back was because he wanted to lead Illinois back to the NCAA tournament before he left. So he came back for his sophomore year. They're about to be in the tournament, and then no tournament. It's just, it is a weird thing for, I can't imagine what it would be like for so many of these kids right now who, you know, not in like, well, I'm using basketball, but you mentioned baseball, like any athlete who had sports this spring, who has just had their entire season taken away from them. And I know that we could say, you know, I fully understand a lot of people are having a lot of things taken away from them right now. Right. So they're not alone in that. It's just from our perspective of what we do and trying to wrap our head around the kids that we cover, because at the end of the day, I don't know, I call them kids. They are kids, even though they're, you know, in their 20s, a lot of them. But I just think that, man, I can't even imagine if I was in that situation how I would be feeling right now. Like, I'm just a fan, and I'm kind of mad that I don't have sports to watch. So thinking of what it's like to be one of the players who has had that taken away from them, it's like, wow.
It's wild. We are going to make it a goal to get you through this this sportsless era, because, you know, we, no matter where, as long as we all can get to somewhat clean microphones and computers, as long as Barton can get to his in-laws' house and the office closet, then we're going to be able to still come and deliver some great Cover 3 content to you. So here's what the roadmap looks like. We've got, as you know, tons of mailbag questions, and you can add your questions and your hypotheticals and whatever else you want to by going to the Cover 3 College Football Podcast page, leave us a 5-star review, and in that review, ask a question. It will be added to the mailbag. We are going to continue to tackle those on a weekly basis. We're also going to venture into some fun stuff. We might look back. We might do some rankings. We're going to play some games. We're going to be reaching out to guests from all across the college football world, both in the on the media side and also from those that are a little bit closer to the game. And, you know, even if we don't have active spring practices, that doesn't mean that we are not going to be able to do a reset. You know, we were hoping to give you spring practice primers and previews and be able to reach out to our sources on the ground to find out about, you know, all the latest developments on a position by position basis. And I don't know if we're going to be able to get that. But what we can do is we can take the information that we know about these programs and these teams and sort of what to expect when they do return to action. And we can sort of put a final bow on how we feel about them going into the 2020 season and sort of take a look at that. So somewhere between the fun, the serious, we're going to try to blend it all together and keep things rocking and rolling here on the Cover 3 podcast. So do make sure that you subscribe if you haven't already. Please remember to wash your hands. Anything else before we get out of here?
Take care of yourselves. And even if, like you mentioned earlier, Chip, about how the presidents of schools that have said, hey, if we're overreacting, that's fine. Think about that for yourself if you're as a listener. Even if you think that this is all a big overreaction, by the time this is over, if it was an overreaction, you'll be
that's
a lot
good.
Happier looking back laughing at it than if you had underreacted. So just consider that.
Seconded
by Barton. You can follow him on Twitter at Barton Sims. You can follow him at Tom Finelli. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.